men did in my town, little town there, coal mining town. And I learned to do everything I shouldn't have done. I'm ashamed almost to tell it, but it's the truth. I learned to drink and do everything I shouldn't have done, 7 car wrecks and that. And been in the car wrecks turning to 80 miles an hour. And I think, Lord, I'm going to get hurt. This, how bad am I going to get? I'm going to get killed. I had no fear of getting killed because I didn't know I'd go to hell. Nobody ever taught me that doctrine. Never told me. I thought, well, if my good works. I used to have that when I had blonde wavy hair and a convertible car. But I thought my good works, I'll let weigh my bad works, I'll go to heaven. And so I just had never been taught. And so when I was 28 years old, I heard the gospel. And so how to be saved. And so I tell you this, you can belong to every church in the world and die and go to hell. Nowhere in the Bible says you have to belong to a church to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible says you have to be baptized to go to heaven. But after you get saved, you're a disobedient child if you don't. After I married my wife, I wasn't ashamed of her. I told people she's my wife, introduced her. So the next step, repent and then be baptized. And then join the church. And so when I started going to Sunday school and heard that, well, I got saved in 1959. I told it in Sunday school in the morning. I'm going to tell it then. If you gave a IQ test in here, most of you could get a score higher on that than I could, that I can. Never been to college, no education, just a coal miner. I never had, didn't know anything about the business world. But when I got saved and got hold of some scriptures like, I love them below me and those that seek me early shall find me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Now, that track he's talking about there is a reservation. It says the reservation. Have you ever made a reservation to Jesus? Now, I'm going to get on the airplane tomorrow morning. I'm going back to Detroit. And so I live near Ann Arbor, Michigan. I get on that airplane, and you can't get on that airplane. You know why? You don't have a reservation. Okay? Now, when I was 28 years old, I got on my knees. Now, here's how simple it is to go to heaven. I said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sins. I want you to forgive me of my sins and save me and take me to heaven when I die. Now, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever. Does that include you and I? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, actually, when I was 28 years old, I got on my knees and asked Jesus to forgive me my sins and save. And when I called on him, Romans 10:13, called upon him, I made a reservation in heaven. Now, I've got a reservation in heaven. Now, if you kill me right now with a gun, I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I've got a reservation. If you die without a reservation, you're going to go to hell and burn forever. It's just that simple. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. No, the wages of sin is death. You and I have to die someday, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Only way to heaven is through Jesus, not through a church, not through a Baptist church, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. Nowhere in the Bible will you find those names. But Jesus said, I'll be in Matthew 12:18. I will be building my, I'll build my church, Jesus said. And so as I said, many, your IQ is more than I am. So what I did, though, I went to the Bible and started studying the Bible. Now, also, when the computers came out, I had 6, 7 bedrooms. I got me a computer. I had to get a book. And every time I'd type something in, I'd hit the wrong button and cancel out. And I had 7 businesses going. I didn't study the computer. And now a 5-year-old child knows more about technology than I do. I had to collect rent from 457 people every month. I chose to do that rather than learn technology. I had a trucking business, a building business. But from the Bible is where that you get wisdom and knowledge. See, I didn't study the book that came with the computer. Therefore, I didn't measure it. Now, to get saved, if you're going to grow and be an ardent Christian, you see, you need to study the manual. This is the first thing. You wouldn't believe that this morning. You know this is, Bible? Holy Spirit, thank you for the Bible. This is where I get the knowledge to make all that money. I kissed the Bible several times. See, this is God's Word. This Word was in heaven before it was put in the book. Amen. Forever, Lord, has thy Word been in heaven. Then God told the men there. So this is where that you get wisdom. If you, I'll challenge you. I can take any church, this church, that, and I can have, if one side of the church, I'll not mention each side because they can make sense. If you'll do what I tell you to do, and I come back here in 10 years, some of you be driving Cadillacs, you have your own business, you have better homes, and more money in the bank. Now, the other side that will not listen to what I'm saying to, you'll be the same thing. Now, if you're saved, you'll be in heaven, but you won't have the rewards that they'll have. I heard the story of this, to talk about money. By the way, the most dangerous time in your life is when you start making more money than you need to pay your bills. And yeah, there's a dangerous time. Money destroys more people than it helps. You know, God's not looking for somebody rich to use. God's looking for an old coal miner out of the hills of Kentucky, can't hardly sign his name and don't have any business then. And then he starts studying the Bible. The Bible is very plain. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed. And so I started to, and so he's become wealthy. Talk about money, what wealth is. People, Pastor, I know I can tell who's wealthy in your church a little time. And then you'll be a wealthy set of tax collector one time, come around and ask a man, a Christian man, I'm going to determine what taxes he'd have to pay. And he said, how much property do you possess? That's the altar. He said, I'm very wealthy, replied the Christian. List your possession, please, the altar instructed. First, I have everlasting life. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, who believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. How long is everlasting? It's forever. Okay. He said, I have everlasting life. John 3. Second, I have a mansion in heaven. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. I want to prepare a mansion for you. But if I go away, I'll come back and get you. He's coming back for us someday. And so, second, I have a mansion in heaven. Third, I have peace that passeth understanding. Fourth, I have joy unspeakable. I saw joy all over your church people's face this morning. Fifth, I have a divine love that never fails. You didn't know you had such a rich crowd, did you? They may not have money, but they're rich. And so, six, I have a faithful wife. Praise God for a wife and a wife. Wash her dirty clothes and make her bed and cook meals and feed her children. I have a faithful wife. Seven, I have healthy, happy, obedient children. Now, these boys and girls here play that violin. That wasn't a fiddle violin. That impresses me that those young kids, somebody's put a lot of training in that, and somebody put a lot of money in their lessons, too. My girl take piano lessons, and so I'd work 15 hours and run those 7 bits, but they have piano sessions. I go in, and they go, ping, pong, ping, ping, ping. I said, hey! I don't know one note from another. Only kind of notes I know is 90-day notes you get down at the bank. But one side, now, let me go in and you didn't know you had a wealthy crowd like it. Seven, I have eight, I have true and loyal friends. Ninth, I have songs in the night. Tenth, I have a crown of life. 11, I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who supplies all my need. The tax auditor closed his book and said, yes, you are a very rich man, but your property is not subject to taxation. Huh? Amen. So there's different wealth and money, you see. I've given it all away. I had 457 houses in part and paid for in 9. You imagine what God did, my boy, raising a three room house, 1 bedroom, 7 of us, like hogs laying there, 3 in 1 little bedroom, this bed 3 here, and 1 on a couch. No running water, no electricity. And so we all drink out of the dipper. We didn't know anything about health. How many knows what a dipper is? It's got a handle on it. It's a cup like a teacup here, and you pick it up, all you drink, put it right down in the water bucket. How many knows what a pullet is? That's a baby chicken. And so the eggs up, they call extra large eggs up in Michigan now, they're pullet eggs, but when I grew up, that's just a pullet. And so, but you're wealthy. See, I don't care how much money you got in the bank, you don't impress God with that. Right. It's what you do with it. Happiness comes from God, not from money. Right. And so that was it. So after when I got saved in 1959, I told in Sunday school, and so what God did through my life, not what I did, but what God did, and I just go around the world and telling people and bragging and begging them and telling them. Now, I've got notes and letters, and I've got in here, one man called me one time, I told him how to buy real estate, I've told a lot of people that. And so He said, thank you. I bet you I've got 300 or 400 hours in that man. And so, but I'm gladly. I'll share it with, I'll tell anybody how to go in business. And if you know what, I can tell you how to start it and how to go it. I had 7, largest property owner in town, 70,000. And he said, thank you for putting all that time in selling. I'm now worth $20 million and I only owe 10. I've got a lot of millionaires that used to follow me. I spoke to one yesterday. I taught him how today. But I go to the Bible and show you what God says, you see. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right. You've got to put God number one. Why, I stayed married to the same woman for 56 years. I loved her. I left the other women alone. And so it's the same thing with God. God wants to be number one in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, number one. And so in Matthew chapter 22, if you turn there, we're going to take but remember, to go to heaven, you have to have a reservation. And who can make that reservation? You can make it yourself. Yes. You alone yourself to tell Jesus that you're a sinner. And so Matthew chapter 22, and the Bible says study the scripture and so you know. Now, the title of my message this morning, if I can find it here, is here's what I try to do to people when I'm a pastor going, I beg you to give God a chance to prove himself. Christians won't give God a chance. Give God a chance. I gave God a chance. I had nothing. I went to Bible in the morning, got to the Bible, got the wisdom of God. And so wisdom that comes from knowing the God, where God, let this mind. Hey, I did all these. No, I didn't do that. I didn't have no mind. But listen, more than this much I want to say and teach you. I know by experience what I've done now for 56, 7 years. When I asked Jesus to forgive me, I got new friends, started studying the Bible. And so, and anyway, he met every need. But what you have to do is give God a chance to prove himself. Now, I was going to say this until you changed me. I forgot. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, we're entitled to have Christ's mind. It's ours if we pay the price to get it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of God, thought it not robbed to be good. Let this mind, let Christ. Now let me give you an illustration. If I knocked on your door tonight, it's up to you to let me in or keep me out. You have to let me come in and let me stay out. I'm going to challenge you, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're saved and you're living for God and separated life, you can claim that verse. Let this mind. What is the mind of Christ? And first, well, here I go. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You understand that? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath for those who love him. And so, it's scripture like that. See, when I get those scriptures in there, and memorize the scriptures, you see, and that I have the mind of Christ. So I took his Christ, rising early in the morning, his mind, and built all those businesses. I didn't do it. So you say what Russell Anderson did, no, what the Holy Spirit did too. You see, that's what he meant. See, I'd be a fool to tell you what I did. I know what I could do without God. God. See, a lot of people won't give God a chance. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. I will instruct thee and teach thee. Psalm 32:8. Now, if you turn to get the mind of God, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I'll guide you with mine eye. Now, we meet with God in the morning. Now, I'm trying to challenge you. I pray God all the time, I want to be a better Christian. And how are you going to become a better Christian? It's through what I'm saying. I beg God in the morning, see. Look what God says in Psalm 3. I will instruct thee and I'll teach thee. I'll guide you with mine eye. Now, if I get God instructing me and teaching me in the morning and guiding me in the eye, you can't touch me. You can't outsmart me. I've seen God tear contracts up. Somebody else, or God told about it since I've been here, someone, maybe counseling people. A contract has been letting on, I'll sleep tomorrow night within a quarter of a mile of that big apartment complex. First business I went into, I left the coal mines. I went north, is putting up sheetrock or drywall, taping it out. I had been in this big job. Friday evening, painting contractor called me and said, Russ, I heard him talking, you lost this contract over. I just gotten a $250 apartment contract. And I said, well, thank you for calling me. Monday morning, the superintendent called me and said, Mr. Anderson, you got a good reputation. I'd like to have you as my contractor. But my boss said, the man building apartments, that you're too high. You lost. Well, thank you for letting me bid it. Maybe I'll get the next one. And so I had 15, 20. I was about the biggest contractor in Washtenaw County, Santa Barbara, Michigan. And so then that morning, I had all them trucks going and the phone ringing. I had 7 lines coming in. It quietens down about 9. I went down to the post office to get my mail, come back. And so I went going down to the post office and said this, now let this mind be in Christ. Now let me illustrate. Let this mind be in you. I said, God, I like to have that contract. My men got done over here at 2. I just pay them 10 minutes travel. I'm been aware of that. Now, God, I read in the Bible where you control the heart of the king. Now, God, if you control the heart of the king, you and that 60 miles away from that Jewish guy's building this, you control his heart, too. Now, God, that man, I used to drink with him. He's going to sit down in that bar called Idle Hour. That's the name of the bar. I used to drink, before I got saved, I used to drink beer with him. He's going to sit down there in that time, and he's going to brag about taking that contract away from you, me. And I'm your child. Plus, he's not going to give you a nickel, and I'm going to give you 50% of the profit. I started tithing when in 1959 I got saved. In 19, and I went to 12%, 14, 18, 20, 20. 11 years later, I was given 50%. I have not given under 50% since 1970, 11 years later. I said, now, dear God, he won't give you a nickel. And I went, now, God, you're a businessman. I said, you're smart. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to tear a contract up and give it to me. I prayed that and got to my mail. I had a big post office went down, come back by 2 o'clock. One of my foremen come in, one or two. I said, let's go out and check the 250 apartments where we're about ready to start. We start measuring how we can, the size of drywall, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, how many to get. We'd come back by where I lost 136, and I said, well, there's Sid. That's the superintendent of the job. Let me stop thanking him for letting me bid the job. And when I went in, I love to tell this story, and I went in, Sid, that superintendent, looked at me. Anderson, I don't know what to think about you. Friday night, my boss said you lost this. This morning, he said, call you Monday morning. He called me. But he said, about noon today, he called me and said, change my mind. Tear that contract up and give it to Russell Anderson. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. See what the Holy Spirit led me to claim it. Does he love me more than he loves you? You got more education than I've got. But I think I go to the Bible and I give God's word. See, I'm trying to challenge you. If you want to drive a better car, better have bank, the first person you talk to is God in the morning. I told this in Sunday school some of it. And so I didn't do it. See, when I got the mind of Christ, let this mind, what is it? Memorizing scripture and claiming the Bible. You see, in the wisdom. And so that's how I told this in Sunday school over there. I made $8.7 million one day and gave it every nickel away. I didn't even take a cup of coffee out. I gave it to the college where I'd start, the Hiles Anderson College, and made $100,000 on one condo. I gave it to God's work. I got a $100,000 check on my desk. When I get back home, I'm going to mail it to Tennessee, to a mission that's going to, all that's going to Philippines. I've got money I put up in the Philippines. By the way, anybody don't have rice deed over there, that I've got money put up over there to buy Mexico City. I've got a church there today. It seats 12,000. I have that in the Sunday school rooms, and they'll fill it twice. I did that with God's mind. You look at me and think, I didn't do that. I just studied early in the morning, studied to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed. Now, I'm going to take I'm speaking this morning on the subject, you do it. It says in Matthew chapter 22, it says, I'll read it. Well, let me put a little background out there. Back in the Old Testament time, if I married a woman, and that's better, all the people I want to marry, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And so, if I married a woman, and then I died, it was my brother's responsibility to marry her and have children with her. So that's what they did in the Old Testament now. It says, and then there's Pharisees and Sadducees, and they came to Jesus trying to trick him. And I know verse 24, and I've laid much, I could, should read several verses for this, but I'll start here. They came to Jesus trying to trick him, and they said, Master, that's Jesus, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed or children unto his brother. Now there were with us 7 brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased, having no issue, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second, he died and left it. The third wife died, and right unto the seventh. Now, so therefore, she's been married seven times. Now, whose wife will she be in heaven? And Jesus said, now here's what he said. In verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You do err, because you know not the scripture. Now, my challenge to you is to give God a chance to prove himself. Don't put limits on God. You put limits on God, now you get saved. If you're going to be obedient, the next thing is to be baptized. Now, you go to heaven without being baptized. You don't have to go home every night to have you get married. To be married, you don't have to go home every night, but it sure helps. That's the same thing with the church. You see, you get saved, and then now here's the steps. Then you'll be obedient. Well, God said you'd be baptized by immersion. And so that's the way Jesus was, baptized by immersion. And then you join the church, and then it says you start tithing. That's 10%. I heard Dr. Jack Hiles preach one time. He had a man in his church wouldn't come with his wife to church, and he'd get out and drink up all the payday. And so one Sunday morning, he came in with a hangover. She said, let me tell you something, mister. If you're not sober up and you don't go to church with me tonight, I'll not be here tomorrow night. Now, you just try me. I'll go back to mama. I'm not living with you. You drank all that payday, all the payday up, men and children. So she made a believer, and Sunday night he went to church. And so Dr. Hiles preached on hell and made hell hot. He came down the aisle and got saved. He said, I'm saved now. Now what else should I do? He said, you'll get baptized. He said, okay. He didn't get baptized. What else? You'll join the church. He said, all right, I'll join the church right now. He said, what else you do? He said, you ought to tithe. What's tithe? He said, a tenth. He thought for a few minutes. He said, I don't have a fifth. I have two-fifths out in the car. Is that all right? That's the only thing he could relate to. So the first Sunday, I made $150 that week. I'd give $15 and went on up there. Well, let me tell you this, Raphael, insert it, because of mine's cry. Within 10 months, a building went broke and broke me, and I was $2,000 in debt. Just got married, had a wife payment, had a car payment, house payment, truck payment. What was I going to do? Now, the old devil said, hey, those buyers of those bars, why don't you come back and serve me? The old devil's going to talk to you. He talks to me all the time. Now, God's forgiven me all them sins, but the old devil reminds me of them. Hey, why don't you come out? You're not having any fun with Jesus. You had more money with me. That's pretty hard to take. You broke all those payments. So after a few days of that, I said, old devil, you go back to hell where you belong. The only happiness I've known in the last 9 months, I've known Jesus. I'm going to live for him. Now, get off my back. Leave me alone. I'm going to serve Jesus. And so within 7 years after that, I broke. Yeah, 7 years, about 7 years, a little over seven. I was a millionaire. I never asked God to let me become a millionaire. I never asked God. I just kept doing what was good. See, making money is a byproduct of serving God. The more you do for God, the more he does for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Bring you all the tithes and store out and prove me herewith. If I not open the windows of heaven, you shall not be able to see. Now, some Christians, they have a hard time trusting God with 10% of their income. But I did. And when that guy broke me, $2,000 debt, I see it continued to go to church. I got a lot of weeks I couldn't take a salary, but I got God $15. I didn't want God to go without Brady. That's so unbounfully. And then I brought a widow. I was out knocking on the door one night, and I went in the door in November in Michigan, cold house going, what's the matter? Hey, the furnace not working? She said, I run out of fuel oil. She said, I get my Social Security check in 3 more days. She said, I'll fill it up in. I said, God lets me live more and more than I said, I'll have a truck there by 10 o'clock. I'll have you fill oil. God said, all right, Russell, that's what you're going to do with money. I'll let you make a lot of it if you're going to help widows. And that's what I do. I'm looking for widows constantly. And so that I can help, not marry. If I ever marry one, let me tell you my first question. She has to be able to make good cornbread. Oh. And if she puts sugar in the cornbread, I'll divorce her. It becomes cake when you put sugar in the cornbread. It's cake. But now, these young brides today, you know, you buy these premixes, got sugar in it. They don't need butter. But a real Kentuckian now, about 80 years old, we don't put sugar. I make my own cornbread, 2 eggs, 2 cups of meal, and 2 cups of buttermilk, and cast iron skillet, 350 degrees, How many knows what I'm talking about? Cast iron skillet. So she has to be able to make good cornbread and pinto beans. Not being a multimillionaire, I can buy anything. I can have my food flown in from London every day if I wanted to. But they don't have cornbread and pinto beans over there. So she has to be able to make good cornbread and pinto beans and fried taters. Then the other thing, she has to wear her dresses down to her knees. I don't want anybody, a man, sitting above my wife's knee. Amen? Huh? Amen. Okay. We don't say anything. And she has to be a good kisser. I said that the other day, and when she kisses me, my toenails don't curl up. I won't marry. Now, here's what Jesus answered and said to them. You do err. I've got to get scripture. I'm going to help you now. I'm telling you, if you arise early, if you get the mind of Christ, let this mind be. It's something you have to do. That's memorizing the word of God. I have not seen, ear, heard, neither in the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love him. If you'd go to Jeremiah, it says, I gave you the scripture. Chronicles 2:12-14. I think of the king's name there. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek God. Wasn't Rehoboam? He had Rehoboam. Rehoboam did evil. And Jeroboam, this is Rehoboam, though. Rehoboam. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek God. Now, beloved, if you get up in the morning and you don't meet with God, you don't prepare your heart, you're inviting the devil to influence you tomorrow. So I'm here to let this mind. Now, I'm telling you, rise early. You need to go. She said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And so he says, the 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, I spent two hours and a half. I said, I got up at 5 this morning and studied the Bible to 7:30. You got to pick me up at 8:30. Over 2 hours begging God to teach me. See, since I don't have anything to fall back on, is that awful? To have Jesus on your side? You know, you and Jesus make a majority. David, when he killed Goliath, he had Jesus on his side. He killed Goliath, 17-year-old boy. God's looking for the young people. He's looking for everybody. Listen to this script. The eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Eyes of the Lord runs to and fro. Psalm 38 again, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that God guided my. Now, if I can get God in the morning teaching me, and then instructing me and teaching me, and then guiding me. You can't, as I said a few minutes ago, I'm lost it all, but I'm repeating it for a purpose. You can't touch me. Nobody in the. It's amazing that the people tried to run me out of business. I had a Jewish outfit there, had a big building supply business when I opened up mine. They said they're going to break me and send me back to the coal mines. They had the money, they had millions, but I didn't have pennies. And so, they called my competitors and said, we'll give you a discount. Any job you take away with Manderson. And so they had all those millions. And I hadn't made the big money yet. I was in debt to those trucks. Only person I had is God. Is that awful? Ain't that awful just only have God on your side? No. I go on my knees the morning I'd pray, God. I know what they're threatening me. But I said, I'm gonna pray for them. I pray somebody to get saved. I didn't get mad at them. And I said, they said they're going to run me out of business, run me back to the coal mines. They threatened to break me. But God, I know your word. I'm going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I'm reading you every morning. I'm studying the Bible every morning. And God, I pray you take care of them. Within 2 years, the man was sitting on that threatening, had a car wreck and almost got killed. And the business started losing money. And that was a satellite business that shut it down, took back. And my truck's still running, selling drywall. That's what God did get it. Now, God loves me more than he loves you, don't he? He wouldn't do that for you, would he? Huh? No. God loves us all. God has no pets, you see. Salvation is free. Gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's free, but once you get saved, what you get from God, you're going to work for it. And God don't use lazy people. God don't use people who don't study his words either. Let this mind be in you. Which also, if you want to use of God, you rise early in the morning. You study God's word, and you get memorize the scripture, and beg God. I preached recently, a great, big, strong man, Jolly Green John, he got saved, and I gave him some verses of assurance. I showed him landscaping, and I showed him how that God could bless his business if he'd serve God. And I said, I never asked God to make me a millionaire, because I kept doing his work, and I pleased him. If we please God, then he'll bless you. He went and told his wife, said, we're going to start going to church more. We're going to get a Bible. We're going to start having a reading Bible in the morning. I'll show you some success verses in the Bible where that God wants. The eyes of the Lord are unto the folks. The Lord is showing himself strong. Half those who have believed. I'll show you a lot of success verses, what God promised. In Psalm 35, he delights in the prosperity of his servants. God's looking for some people to use. But let me say this. If I hired all you, you're my employees. I use illustration again. And so I'm going to be looking for your use who makes me the most money. I said that in Sunday school, I think. And so God's looking for some people. But anything that you get from God now, after you got saved, I mean, I'm talking about financial net, you don't get, God's got to do it. I will instruct thee and teach thee. You got to rise early in the morning. You got to know the scriptures. The Bible, Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp two-edged sword. David said, thou through thy commandment made me wiser than enemies. The Bible, more precious than gold, glad hopes and bright glories, it pages unfold. It speaks of the Father and tells of his love. He shows us the way to the mansions above. God will not open the windows of heaven very wide to one who keeps the Bible shut. Read daily your Bible, if you would be strong, to witness for Jesus and overcome wrong. The author of the book, they never abide, but if you neglect them, you'll surely backslide. You backslide. A Bible in hand is worth two on a bookshelf. And the Bible, we're born by the word of God, we grow by it, we're cleansed through it, sanctified, edified by the word of God, illuminated by the word of God, satisfied by the word of God. It's all found in scripture. I got the scripture here. So if you want to better get better out of God, you've got to know more about God. See, again, I lost the fault, Father God. If I hired you, I'm not going to make you a foreman. I give you a credit card and a car to drive, a truck to drive, until you get my mind in you. I'm a Christian man. I want you to know how I think. I'd rather give somebody a dollar to take one penny away from them. I told them I had three secretaries and people. When you move out of my apartment, you did damage. I said, if you have to make a decision where to give me a dollar or give them $5, I don't want a penny that don't belong to me. I want you to know that I'm an honest man. Don't you try to steal and don't you try to cheat the labor of me. I told my foreman, if you mistreat my labor and I'll fire you someday, no, we'll be working for him. You treat people right. I want you to know. I want you to know now. If you're my foreman, is that people are going to be paying on these houses 30 years? They desire to have a good smooth wall where they can't see nail popping out in seams. And I want you to know, if you catch anybody on the job, my job, drinking alcohol, they're fired immediately. I want you to know all about me and how I feel, and how I want to treat people and a good reputation. Because I know if I do you a good job, you'll tell somebody else. So I want you to know. I want you to know about me. I want you to know that I give the biggest portion of my habits. I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My paycheck has Bible verses on them. My statement has Bible verses on them. I want you to know all about me, how I feel. So any problems comes up on my back, you know how to handle them, what the Bible says. You treat people right. You don't steal from people. I don't believe in that. And I'll fire you if I ever catch you stealing. Once I've just distilled that in your mind and you became following me, then you're qualified to become a foreman. Now, you know why God is not going to bless you right now? You don't have the mind of Christ. If you want more blessing, you have to get the mind of Christ. And if you get the mind of Christ, and then you prove to God and you get qualified. I would say qualified. When you get qualified, I give you a key, phone, charge car, charge up. When you get qualified. Now, God works the same principle. You my employee, whether you obey me or not, right? If I hired you, you're my employee. Well, we're Christians, but the more faithful you are as an employee to me, the more you're going to get out of me, and the more we do for God, the more you're going. Does that make sense? Huh? It worked all right for me. Check my bank account. And so, $100,000 on my check tomorrow morning. I seen a time I didn't have two nickels rubbed together. But I didn't let money control me. It's not wrong to own money. It's not wrong to let money own you. I never let it stop me from going to Sunday school on Sunday morning. And every day, on Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and out knocking on doors two nights a week, waiting that snow and ice, telling people about Jesus. And so, so we need to know, you do err, you're not knowing the scriptures. The Sadducees came to Jesus the same day, they didn't believe in the resurrection. But I'm not getting into that. See, 2 Peter, look here, what we can do, if I can find it here right fast. Look what it says. It says, let me read verse 2 Peter 2. This is a good verse too. Boy, it's all good. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Hey. And his ears are open to their prayers. Oh. See, the more you know God, the more you pray, the more you study his Bible. God knows who you are. He said, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That right there ought to tell us if we're doing something now, we know not pleasing God. I asked the Holy Spirit, oh, this morning, I did that. I'm not going to eat it. I said, Holy Spirit, I don't want that something that big between you and I. God's word, I know everything I own, you can have it. I gave you 304 apartments one day. Yeah, 800. Gave you an oceanfront condo in Waikiki Beach. I can throw a biscuit out in the ocean, across the ocean, beach. I've given you everything. Anything I have, it's not mine. You just give me that, aren't you? I said, God, I don't want that much. Anything that big. And then I put that down. I said, I don't even want a germ between you and I can't see a germ. See, making money is a byproduct of serving God. See, because I'd run 7 businesses and all those. I was out 2 days at nights a week knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. I said, but I met God in the morning first, though. I would instruct thee and teach thee in the way that you go. I got that Psalm 32:8. And here it says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. God knows what we do. We can't hide anything. I can take Psalm 139 and show you. God knows what you're thinking before you speak it. Is that awesome? Would you listen to that? God knows what you're thinking before you speak it. He knows what you do in the dark. He can see in the dark like you can in daylight. You can't hide anything. I wish I had time to turn there and go to show you. God knows what we're thinking, what we're doing all the time. You can hide it from mom and dad, young baby. You can hide it from the preacher or husband. You can hide it from your wife. You can't hide it from God. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hey, I've got, there's another sermon. Can I have another 40 minutes? I got on a ship. I go on cruises now. One of the ships I go on, 4 football fields long, Oasis. By the way, I'm going there 3 weeks this winter. I was at Christmas. I spent Christmas on there. And people don't, they're not very spiritual during Christmas there. But I go on a ship, 3 foot. Whole 6,000 people, imagine 4 football fields. That's how long it is, and it's 20 decks high. That's 80 football fields going down the ocean. And so, I don't know how you got on that. It's your, oh, yeah, yeah, I know what I did. You got me off my mind again. Oh, you got me. I got a shirt. I'm a priest over that. And a guy walked down, was checking in that, and I said, I'm a priest. He said, are you going to be given, having... On this ship, you're going to be speaking? I said, no, not this one. I'm going to give personal appointments, so private appointments. I said, when I have time, I'll let you know. Now, I didn't have that all make up. I like to leave that and go to another illustration. And so I said, okay, so on Monday, I said, now, God, I told him, I'm a priest. You want scripture for it? 1:8. Read for you, 1 Peter 1:8. I'm in James. 1 Peter 2:8. 2:7. No. Oh, here it is. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do you know you're a priest? We're a chosen generation. We're a chosen generation, a priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him. So I come up Monday night. I said, I've got time for you now. I'll give you an appointment. Come on in. We'll talk. I went through the plan of salvation, this track we're talking about, New Life. You went through that. And I said, now, if you want to bow your head and ask Jesus to forgive you. And I said, now, I'm a priest, but I'm not the high priest. Jesus is the high priest. I want to introduce you to the high priest now. Now, you don't talk to me, you pray. Now, you, Jesus, born of a virgin, he's Catholic, born of a virgin. And so, didn't have a human father, lived some 33 years. He died, was buried, arose, and 3 days later went to heaven. And so, now, he's listening to you right now. Now, if you talk to the high priest, and asked them to forgive your sins and save you. Would you do that? He said, yeah. And I performed my priestly duties. Having a time of my life. I saw 17 last. I had Kevin Wynn on last September. He's going to be on this September. I won 17 people that week. You won. Boy, if I got another 30 minutes. Oh, the cornbread's going to burn. I'm going to let me. Lord, let me get out of this now. How do I close? I showed you. You're a priest. Embrace it. Let this mind be in you. You do err, not knowing the scripture. And so, you know why I wasn't saved earlier? I thought my good work would out my way back for 28 years. Luke 16:19, I'm just going to tell you that the rich man died, was buried in hell, lived with his eyes been in torments. Now listen, when you die, the rich man died, was buried, and in hell. See, the soul departs. when we die, is going to go to heaven or hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so the rich man in hell, he said, Father Abraham, not. A lot of people says, is there fire in hell? I tell you, yeah. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. Luke 16:19. I'm not going to turn, I don't have time. But he didn't want somebody to just touch his finger and water and touch his two tongue. He's that dry. See, he erred. He waited too long. If you hear that you're not saved, you never asked Jesus to forgive you, you better not leave this building today. You may get killed. You may not die. You may not live. Well, I'll get to tomorrow someday. But see, this man erred. He didn't know the scripture. Well, I got five brothers. Now, therefore, people in hell, he said they saw Lazarus. And people in hell right now is going to send somebody back to tell. If you're here and you're not saved, God sent me here today to say you got to get saved so you don't have to go to hell. God told me, since you are saved, to start serving God. Start serving, start sacrificing, separating yourself. And so the reason why he went to hell, didn't know the scriptures. And that's where I was headed that way until I heard the gospel. God, the Sunday school teacher, taught me about in the gospel of John. I think it was 11 of my family in the next 6 weeks, including my mother. She's in heaven tonight. I've got a sister up there. I got a brother up there. I preached his funeral, older brother. I got some uncles and aunts up there. I guess 12, 15 up there. Because it's amazing what we'll do. If one man in a family would just get on fire for God and do what I told you to do, start rising in the early morning, studying the Bible, and get on fire for God and start serving God, it's amazing what God could do so you'd reach in your family. Yes. I heard this story. A lady went to see the pastor one time. Said, Pastor, I've taught. It's an R.E. Torrey illustration. And said, I've got three sons. I've taught Sunday school for years. I've been faithful. My boys, they're not interested in it. And the pastor looked at her and said, I can tell you what. You've got your eyes. There's something wrong with your eyes. What's the matter? There's no tear in your eyes. Have you ever one night cried for your boys and told them you loved them, 24 and 22 years old and 19. No, three boys, never have. You haven't shed a tear, that's the problem. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come to rejoicing. She went home, fell on her face, cried all evening. About 10 o'clock, her older son come in and said, Son, I want to apologize to you. I want you to go to heaven, but I've never cried over you. All evening long, I've cried, I want you to go to hell, I love you. That boy broke down, he was saved. Next morning, his two brothers come down. His mother had her back, was still weeping, crying. He told them what he did that night before. Said, I go on my knees and ask Jesus to forgive me last night, boys. My mama's there. She's over crying over you right now. You ought to get saved. And both of them got saved. See, what words could not do, tears do. Tears is an unwritten language. It rings a rope, rings a bell in heaven that gets God's attention. Are you saved? You know, are you serving God? Won't you set a goal right now? If you don't have a goal, you hit it. You're going to start meeting with God in the morning. Start studying the Bible. Let this mind be in you. Don't err as this man did. Our Father, I wish I had 10 hours just to keep going. I'm over a few minutes. I pray, God, thank you for these people I've got to speak to this morning. They give me good attention. Their eyes are glued on me. They're eating it. Now, God, please work in their hearts. How many can say right now, Brother Anderson, if I died right now, my heart's not beating, I